2 Corinthians. Going somewhere we don't usually go. The Old Testament. 2 Kings chapter 5. Wow. Chapter 5. And hold your place for a moment. All right. You know, we have to kind of build up a foundation. I'm just going to tell you, and I'm not trying to put a negative thing on this, because I tell my young preachers, never get up and say, I'm just going to do the best I can, or I fought with this thing for 3 weeks and I'm going to give it to you. It puts a negative start in it, but I'm going to do something I tell them not to do. I'm just telling the honest truth. I'm uneasy about this sermon. It's when I started, I wrestled over and over. You know, you that preach, you know, you got something in your heart, and you get to studying and you're involving. And my wife would tell you here lately, I spend a lot of hours. Sometimes you may not think if I've ever studied a bit, but I if not, I'm sitting there meditating and listening and trying to bring this thing together because of the importance of this time. You know, anybody can get anything off anywhere and repeat it. But I have to search for things that I feel are from the Lord for this season, because we're not a church that preaches sermons. We are a church that preaches directions.
Hallelujah.
That's why we're prophetic. We're moving. We're moving. We're like the children of Israel on the way to the promised land.
Amen.
So we have directions from the Lord. And so today, I'm going to tell you right off the bat, I'm going to mess with you a little bit, all right? If you understand what I'm saying, I'm going to get down inside of us.
Come on.
I'm going to dig up, plow up, and root up. And this is nothing personal, no names called, but I think it fits this importance of this season because of what's going on everywhere. Me and Brother Jeff and Brother Jerry, and sometimes Penny says we don't let her in with the guys. That's little guys making little decisions. That's what she said. She didn't call us little desires, but our little meetings, Brother Jeff, she said today. So we're going to have to get her in to have a big meeting. But we often talk about how loud the enemy is speaking today. It's amazing what people are doing and saying. It blows your mind. Now, I know the world, we already know they're geared up for trouble, trials. They gear it up for failure. Some people make money off of failure. You understand that? Some people make money off of fear. But we, the people of God, have to bring in to realizations of what the Word says about the time and hour in which we live in, so we won't be fearful.
Amen.
So we won't enter into some, I just tell like it's stupidness.
Uh-huh. That's right.
And ignorance.
Yeah.
That you see in the world today. Never forget, we have the answer. We're not trying to get it.
That's right.
Right.
We're not wrestling to get it. We're not fearful that we don't have it. We are people of God, have the answer for life problems every day. Thank you for the enthusiasm, but at least you sing that you do.
Yeah. Amen.
I mean, some people don't realize that Christ is in you, not out there. But you should know by now, sitting in this church, that you have the answer for life problems. Now, that doesn't make you better than anybody else. It just makes you shows that you know a little bit more than somebody else.
Amen.
I don't live in fear. You know why? I don't get my directions and my information from nobody but the Bible. And the Bible says He's not given us a spirit of fear, but love and power and a sound mind. The Bible says in the days of all these trials, they have told us, I've been in church 56 years. I heard right off the bat that Jesus was coming soon. I also heard that in the last days there'd be perilous time, rumors of wars. People would go nuts, just paraphrasing what Paul said, lovers of themselves, high-minded,
yeah,
truth breakers,
yeah,
haughty. Can I hear amen?
Amen.
Y'all know any haughty people?
Yeah.
I ain't talking about Frankenstein. I'm talking about haughty. Amen. Just old haughty people, mean, disrespectable. Children, and they even says children will be disrespectable for parents in the last days. So, you know, we don't want to believe it, but it's come upon us.
Amen.
Just this, and I'm not an eschatology teacher, and I'm not a fearful teacher, but it is what it is. We are in those days.
Amen.
And we have to be careful that we don't fall into the trap, listen to all the news, and a lot of Christians that are defeated and despondent and on the outs for this day, but we need to rise up and understand Jesus said, in this time of all that's going on, look up. Don't look down.
Look up.
He didn't say look at CBS.
Right.
He didn't say look at ABC, CNN, or Fox, did he?
Right.
He said look up.
Look up.
For your redemption is drawing nigh. So that gives me great peace when all this trouble is going around. I just take a look up every once in a while.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
So we have to respond to life's challenges. And that's what I'm going to talk about today. Responding to life's challenges. Amen. 2 Kings chapter 5 verse 1. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper. Say that with me. He was a leper. Naaman was a leper. You need to write this down. The purpose for your life is that you're living what would make life easier for someone else.
That's right.
The purpose for your life is that you're living what you are living would make it easier for somebody else.
Yeah.
I think it's a now time word for us. In your living,
In
how you live, does your life make it easier for somebody else? Let me say that again. In your living, how you are in life, does it make it easier for somebody else? If I can help somebody, then my life has not been lived in vain.
Amen.
John 15:13 said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. I'm about like this way. If you got a friend, regardless if he's in the world or not, keep him. Friends are hard to come by.
Amen.
Can I hear an amen?
Amen?
I mean somebody that's a real friend that sticks with you. When you got a pocket full of money and when you don't got nothing. When you got a beer and you don't have one. When you got a piece of pot. You don't get a piece of pot. You got whatever that is. I still ain't figured out how you smoke a pot. I don't know how your mouth gets around it. But anyway, whatever you got, a friend. I got to break in, all right? I got to keep you on the upside. A friend. The Bible says, greater love hath no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friend. Jesus said this 4 times in the Gospels, in case you don't know it. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if a man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up the cross and follow me. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it. And whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. See, that's why you're all quiet, most of you, because you don't hear that no more. Because most of us live our life like we're looking in the mirror. It's all about us. That's why the prosperity message is so, so quickly to grow and to go. People make a lot of money talking about prosperity. Very little bit money is made on books that talk about holiness. Right living. Come on now.
Amen.
Living right in a wrong world. That's what I want to write a book about. Living right in a wrong world. I don't know if it'd be a good bestseller, but maybe, I don't know. I'm thinking about writing a book with Brother Jerry while I'm sitting down there. It's a book titled, Thank God We Get to Give.
Amen.
We get to give. Most books are written on you gotta give. No book is written that I know of have found yet. Thank God we get to give. We get to. But anyway, I'm telling you, most of us live our life looking in a mirror. It's all about us. Maybe not you, but wait till I get through. You'll shout a little bit. We gotta get to the root. Say, we gotta get to the root. Because if you don't get the root, you're going to have fruit. So we're going to get to the root. I admire people. I admire people who work jobs that take care of people. I admire people like that.
Yes.
People that work in nursing homes. And some of you never had to visit very much in nursing homes. Especially people who work with Alzheimer's, like they work with my mother-in-law. I mean, sometimes we want to break the neck because we don't think something's done right. But to go into that kind of atmosphere every day, to wipe somebody's spit off their mouth, to clean a diaper in an adult, to tell them to put their... I mean, I've seen everything. We've seen everything during my mother-in-law's time. People walk out and grown-ups with Alzheimer's don't know if they got clothes on or not. You have to send them back. I mean, people that work in that kind of area, I admire those people because they've looked past their mirror and they're living their life to make it easier for somebody else. Amen. That's why I'm a preacher. If I didn't think I helped nobody, I mean to tell you right now, I wouldn't finish this sermon. I would not. I'd get my stuff and look over, Miss Penny, let them all go to hell. I mean to tell you, I would. I'm all going to hell. But I please. I know I have that assignment in my life. Because I know what God has done for me. The assignment in my life that I'm to help people make life heaven on the earth if they're listening and do the word of God rather than hell on earth. I admire people. Some people don't like preachers, but they don't know. I've been to churches where preachers preach for 30 years to 5 people. I don't know if I could do that or not, but they did it. Spencer Lowe in a church, a friend of ours, for 30 years, he stomped and preached and sing, come and dine, the master calleth, come and dine, to 5 people. But he did it with a vigorous assignment that he was at least helping somebody. I'm talking about responding to life's challenges. Amen. See, it's making life easier for people. And doing that does not come easy. That's why we don't do it too much. Because we see people who you try to help. And try to get them out of the way they're living. They rise up on you and it looks like they're just ready to cuss you out. And they don't say this, but it seems like it says, they're saying to you, leave me alone. I want to live like I'm living. Don't mess with me. And so, you know, you're right. That's the way the world sometimes is, that when you're helping people, you think it should be easy. You think it should be a rosy because, you know, in pastor, I'm talking about me a little bit, me and Penny see it every day. It's just so disheartening. And sometimes I do weep. You don't think I do at home or on in the car. We constantly having to pray about people we try to help. They turn you off. They make it hard for you. They say, don't mess with me. I want to die like I am. But we have an assignment. We have to keep pressing in and keep loving and keep going. And in this season that we're in with supernatural breakthrough, you got to understand that's part of your assignment in your own breakthrough, is that you respond to people.
Amen.
That when you're working with people, you understand that sometimes in those challenges are hurtful. And I wish I could tell you that churches Not a hurtful place. But all of us have our story, our times, unless you just got in. And if you live long enough in the church, you'll be disappointed. With people. Amen. I'm not calling any names. Amen. And that's one of the biggest challenges. I mean, I can understand a car tearing up. Just fix it. Do whatever's necessary. I can deal with that. I can deal, you know, with broken glass. In the earth, we realm, natural realms, with things that break. It's easy to deal with, but trying to fix somebody's life is not easy. Trying to help. We try to help some of you. No names called. But it's difficult. It's a big challenge to make people's life easier. But that's what we call to do. Jesus said, lay down your life for somebody else. And the church is in this season, because it's been such a long period of time that we've been looking in a mirror. We've been wanting our homes, our cars. Don't shout me down. Hours. Books have been written. People have been preached. And it's really, to me, it's getting a little old right now, because so many people are hurting. I think we need to get off that and get on the challenge that we're about, is that to make somebody's life somewhat easier.
Amen.
And I say it, and I mean it. What good is it to me have all the money and everybody around me poor, broke, busted, and disgusted? I cannot live that way. I thank God for everything I got, but there are difficult times in my life where I'm uncomfortable with what I got, because some around me have not yet got their breakthrough. And we have to be aware that we are called to, and the challenge that we're called to do is help one another, dadgummit. Somebody's got to say something about it. That's our calling, that we lay down our lives for each other. Not about me getting somewhere without you. I told you I'm uneasy, but it's needful to say. Because there's fixing to come a pour out day. If you don't watch it and you get poured out, you'll forget about those around you and you'll leave them. And how dare you to leave people that's helped you get where you at? Ooh! Ooh! How dare you to help people that's got you where you at when you get your mother load? There's coming a mother load. Even while I'm preaching this, I'm just preparing you. That's why some of you going through, I'm a little ahead of my game, but I'll just tell you, some of you going through financial difficulties right now, so you'll be able to handle the mother load. So if you can't save a dollar, you sure can't save $100,000. You spend it on yourself and be right back in the mess you are today. Ah, I'm preaching now. Helping people is not easy, but that's what our challenge in life is. Please let me tell you one more time. Your challenge is not to have a nicer car or a bigger home. Your challenge is that we love one another. John said we know that we pass from death into life, not because we got a big home. And I'm not against that. Just listen. I have a nice home. But that we know we pass from death into life because we love one another. See, I know Pam loves me. How do I know Pam loves me? Because she's been in the little old building nobody was in, playing the little old piano nobody would ever play. And she followed me everywhere I went. And I can trust her with my life. Because we have a track record. I'm getting there. Track record. If I need help, I'll ask you. Amen. You know, I say, what? What is it? What is it? Pam didn't go off and leave me in her life when I was in trouble. And I hadn't went off and left her down in Buzzard Town when she was in trouble. Why? Because we have love for one another. And we've met that challenge. We don't let things that are out of kilter get in our lives. We're together to the end unless, you know, I mean, I don't see any way God gonna change that because that's just part of my life. And we had visions years ago about the end, and we're getting there, but we ain't there yet. So we got a little further down the road to go. Amen. Listen to this. Meeting life's challenge and finding in them the deeper meaning of life is not about those who bring challenges to us, but about ourselves. Let me read that again. Meeting life's challenges and finding in the challenges with people and things. The deeper meaning of life is not about those who bring us the challenges, but about us. Challenges in our life force us to look deep inside of us. I'll be honest with you, there's a law at work. It's not in the Bible, but I've observed people all my life. What you see in others that bug you, they bug you because it's in you. Do you know you see what in you won't believe this, but what you see in people that bugs you is what's really in you. And God's letting you see it so you can look deep inside of you and do something about you and leave God to do something with them. Oh, y'all got to give me a raise off that. Amen. 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 Ain't you glad I stepped up a level so I can say things I never said? Amen. Life challenges, whatever it may be. I'm talking about people, but there are other challenges. Financial healing, everything. Whatever challenge you're in, the challenge is for you to look deep inside of yourself to see how you respond to that challenge. Because if you respond correctly, you will grow. You won't take the test again. I can't tell you how many people test I've taken along the way. Because I failed a bunch of them. Amen. I can't tell you the financial test. You have a money test before you get your mother load. Don't fool yourself. If you can't give a dollar out of a 10, you ain't going to be able to give a 10,000 out of a 100,000. So you got to meet that test or you're going to take the test again.
Come on. Come on,
I'm trying to help you.
Help.
I'm tired of them daggum tests. I had somebody tell me in my office one day, I'm tired of them tests. Don't talk to me about tests. Yeah, they had a few cents in, right? But if you pass them, you grow. You grow. And you don't have to. It's a lot of challenges. I'll get to that, but I'll tell you now. Challenges is all. It's a part of life. It really is. Amen. See, if we respond the right way, it molds and shapes us into the true light of God. And let me tell you, folks, it's getting dark. And so we got to be responding to challenges of life in the right kind of way so those in darkness will find the light, you see.
Hallelujah.
We got it kind of a little back as we out searching for them.
Oh, yeah.
And they ain't really ready.
Yeah.
But if we get the true light, they'll come searching for us.
Right.
And when they find us, we can help them. But we got to have the true light because people want to see. Can I hear amen?
Amen.
So let's look back to 2 Kings chapter 5. And I want to look at this just for a little bit more. And we're going to see in Naaman's life how we should respond to life challenges. Let me read it again. 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 1. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance into Syria. He was a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper. First thing I want you to notice, that Naaman was a major player in the scope of things. He was the captain of the host of the king. He was high up on the totem pole. The second thing, the Bible says he was a great man with his master. The Message Bible says he was important to his master. The third thing that I want you to notice is Naaman was an honorable man who brought deliverance to Syria, a mighty man of valor. You see that, don't you? It's in your Bible, right? Say, it's in the Bible. He was important. And you understand what I'm trying to get to. He was a major player in what God was doing in the king's life in Syria and his own life. But here's the thing, he had leprosy. Leprosy, an incurable disease. Amen. He was the captain of the host of Syria, a great man and a mighty man of valor, great and honorable, but he was a leper. Amen. Say, he was a leper.
He was a leper.
I'm talking about responding to life challenges. He was a notable man, a high man in the court of the king. Great. A man of valor. But he had a problem. He had a challenge. He had an incurable disease called leprosy. But what I admire about Naaman was, we can read these scriptures and it kind of gives us the insight that he was a leper before he became a captain of the host. He was a leper before he became important to his master. He was a leper before he became honorable and great. I admire a man like that who had that great challenge. I don't know if you're about leprosy, but in the Bible days there was no cure. I got on the internet and I didn't want to, you know, bombard you with a bunch of facts, but leprosy, it's what it does. It kills the nerves around you, and you don't feel, and therefore something happens to you. It's kind of like a bad case of diabetes and all that. You don't feel when you stump your toe, and before you know it, it rots off. It's gangrene. They cut it off. And people lose hands and noses. And face features. It's a horrible disease, and Naaman had that disease, but he still responded to life challenges in a positive way. Amen. Amen. He already had leprosy. We can learn some lessons from a man like that. Number one, everybody everywhere has a life challenge. Now you can shout a little bit because we're talking about your other person on the side of you, not you. Everybody in this room, everybody, Pastor Mike, everybody, anybody breathing has life challenges. You're not, listen, number two, everybody has the human capacity to hurdle over them. No matter what they are. This man had leprosy, an incurable disease. In the Bible times, he called him unclean. It was a type of sin. But somehow, some way, God gave him favor.
Yeah.
Say favor.
Favor.
And he overcame that life challenge and become important to the king and his master. Man, Pam will tell you, she knows about kings. When you become important to the king, you got it made, man. You're going to eat steak when nobody else has steak. Your chariot will have a turbo engine in it when nobody else does. Amen.
Right.
Because the king is going to take care of those he got his eyes on, right?
Amen.
Everybody has the everybody has life challenges, and everybody has the capacity to overcome those challenges, regardless of how big they may be or how long they may last, you have the capacity. And I want to tell you something. You have that capacity without God. And I'm not glorifying that statement. You have more with God. But there's something inside humans. The will to live. I read the story of the man who dropped down in between two mountains one time, and hours and hours he couldn't get up and couldn't get down. His arm had him, I don't know if you read it, his arm had him pinned in that real close part of those two they were mountains. He dropped down in between them. So he was there a day and a night and a day and a night with no food and no water. But the will to live, the man took his pocket knife and cut his arm off. Climbed out with one arm and lived to tell the story. Something inside of us. Something's wrong with you when you don't want to live now. Something inside of you. Something will get you up to walk when nobody tells you you can. Something inside of you will make you live when everybody's trying to tell you you're going to die. Something inside of you, when somebody says you ain't going to make it, what happens to you? You try with all your might to make it. Something inside of you. Say that with me. Something inside of me that's bigger than me. You can whoop it. You can kill it. You can keep it away from your life. He waited too late in my life to tell me people can't do it. I've dealt my whole life with people who overcome great difficulties of alcoholism. Drug addicts. Tent dwellers. Some of you, thank God, you had something inside of you bigger than what was on you. You overcome it. Hallelujah. Ain't you glad you come to church and don't beat you down? You're already down. Most people are down when they walk in. It's our job to give him the light of the gospel. Amen. Number three, you must come to the place where you do not allow the strength of your challenge or the longevity of your challenge to rob you of the tremendous opportunity of the greatness that is inside of you. He had leprosy, but he was known as a great man. He had leprosy, but he was charged of the host of the army of Syria. He had leprosy, but he was known as a man of honor. He had leprosy, but he was a mighty man of valor. I make a prophetic statement right now. Today, shout today.
Today,
today marks the end of your excuses. Today marks the end of your season for excuses because of your challenge. Today. It's the word that makes us free. Correct? So you get in the Word. Just grab a hold of it. And today will be your day you can put that excuse away. Whatever it may be. I've had a few down the road and they look mighty good to me. And they were notable to me. But thank God, some way the Word got me over it. And when I got over it, I moved right on in to what God had for me. Nothing is as important as God's greatness in your life. Nothing should ever rob us of our future. I'm screaming so these young folks can hear it. Nobody can tell us nothing. That's why your mom and daddy so bad on you. They couldn't tell them nothing either. But we love you. We love you. We're not trying to harm you. We're trying to help you from the hurts and scars of life. Wait till I get the white off. All right, I got it. You can never again get by because of your excuses. Never again. Why? Because everybody in this room has an excuse. You're not the only one. Turn to somebody. You're not the only one. See, some of you think you got the only excuse in the world to stay just like you are. The only excuse in the world to have that challenge overtake your life. Everybody around you. Some we never tell. I don't tell everything. My wife thinks I do. Hey, some things she couldn't handle, you couldn't handle, and I really couldn't handle it. To tell you of what challenges have been in my life. And I have some today that's between me and God that I have to overcome. So there's no excuse to say, you know, I got the only one. Everybody. Say everybody again. Everybody around here has at least one.
Yeah.
Say one.
One.
And anyway, have you noticed that a lot of people around here are going right on with their challenges?
Yeah.
If their excuse is no good, yours not either. It's good to you, but amazing it ain't good for them, right? What's good for the gander is good for the goose. What is it? Just get that. I don't mean nothing. Amen. Yeah, I mean, you know, you can't judge. Please. I've been around enough people. You just don't know what they've been through. You don't know what they're going through, what challenges they are. And you just have no idea. Some people around here smile good. But boy, I tell you, they're in the hot seat.
Yeah.
It's all they can do to worship. It's all they can do. Some people in this praise team, I admire them. Because they're singing in faith.
Right.
Yeah. I admire some of you people just to come to church.
Because
I know you wrestle with it on the inside, but something bigger than you gets you here every service.
Yeah.
I admire you. You are really the faith people. Faith people are not the ones that got everything going on. I mean, they're faith people. What I'm talking about, they got faith. But I mean, the true working of faith is those who are pressing in. I mean, they're going through. Some of you, I mean, I know it. I mean, I'm every day and every night I go to bed. I know it. I'm looking. I'm trying. We're trying our best. But you know what? It's still... You can't use that as an excuse.
Right.
Naaman was a leper.
Yeah.
Hey, he had a big, big deal going on, but he became a mighty man.
Amen.
Don't ever assume others around you don't have challenges.
Right.
Just because they didn't tell you about them.
Right.
Oh, we all have them. Say we all have them.
All have them.
So challenges come to everybody. You don't have to pray for them. You don't have to think about them. They just come. And here's the thing we don't like to think about as faith people. I don't know where they got that anyway, that faith people don't have no challenges. I mean, we live on the glass. Oh, we live on the top. Pastor Mike never had the problem. You know what my problem is? Me. You don't know about me. You really don't. You think you know about me? Ooh, I have to go to bed with me, wake up in bed with me, get in the car with me. Some of you love me, you're the sweetest man that ever lived. I have to work on it. I work on it. I really work on it. Some of you push my too far, you know what I'm saying? I do everything but cuss. And cut you. But don't put your hand on me, I'll probably cuss and cut you. Tell you right now, I'm going to tell all of you, if somebody hits me, they going down. I'm telling you, if I let you hit me, somebody else going to walk in this church and hit me. If I was you, I would never hit me. I got 61 years of hitting me. I put your butt on the ground. I'm telling you, I ain't afraid of people.
Come on.
You don't know what I got behind here anyway. It may get you before you get here. I don't know. In case you didn't hear it, you better hear it now. I can't wait to get on the internet. They'll be writing in every week. Who's that fool y'all got up there? Well, I got to get back to my sermon, all right. Did y'all hear that? That brother Jeff was supposed to do that, and he... They do it later. All right, they do it later. I couldn't. I kept looking. I just couldn't. I'm sorry, brother. So, you know how I am. It was there. It was just too tempting. Too tempting.
Say it again.
Here's the thing we need to understand. I'm going to try to close. It's the right kind of challenge that forces us to deny. Listen, the right kind of challenge will force you not to deny your God-given potential. See, some people, I'm one, will never move unless a challenge comes. I'm geared that way. When a challenge comes, I'm in high gear. Some of you around, I know you. I ain't calling no name, but boy, when you have something to do, you run with it. If you ain't got something to do, you're miserable.
Yeah.
Some kind of challenge makes something turn on in you, right?
Yeah.
Challenges. The right kind in any of you, because some of you are pretty lovey-dovey like me, but if the right fight comes, you up and going.
Amen.
Amen. See, very few people in life are self-motivated. Very few. Sometimes something got to happen.
That's right.
Amen?
Yes.
I wrote this down. If you don't hit your head, stump your toe, and run against a brick wall, you won't do nothing.
Amen.
But you know what? Here's your attitude. Every brick wall gives you an opportunity to knock a hole in it.
That's right.
That's how you learn to go through life. Brick walls.
Right.
Anybody know what I'm talking about? Here's a brick wall. I kick a hole in it and go through.
Yeah.
And after a while, you're pretty good. You're pretty good, man. Ah, dude, nothing. 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 No life challenge stop you. You have to believe that. Nothing gets between you and your dream. Had somebody on Facebook said, I need $75 to go to the next quarter. I'd hate to miss so many months of school because I didn't have $75. I said, how about $100? Then I went to him and said, easy, if it's a reasonable amount of money, don't you miss school. That's your dream. How dare me with me a pocket full of money see somebody got to get out of school for $75? It's important to me. It's important to me. It's important to me and Sister Pam and others and all of you, it should be, to help one another.
Yeah.
I believe the church ought to be self-supported of itself. Right. We shouldn't have to go down to somebody we can't trust and work on a car. We shouldn't have to go get our house painted with somebody to jip us. We should have inside of this building doctors, lawyers, merchant chiefs, everything we need to further the gospel. We should have bankers. We should have our own bank.
Yeah.
Our own bank.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Build our own houses.
Right.
With quality.
Right.
And not greedy.
Right.
Do what we say we're going to do. I'm telling you, it's hard to find somebody that can do something they say they're going to do. Now is the time for godly men and women to rise up and take this world. And all you got to do is do what you say. Finish. Pam said, just finish the job. shoot, I'm not afraid. If the Lord released me, I'd show you something. I meant release me to be a businessman. I ain't afraid. This is the time for the gather. The spoils. Don't you understand? Most of the spoils are out there, came through greed. They're laying all around the place. Don't be afraid. Dream. Do it. Where if I fail? Well, you know what? Your success is not whether you fail or not. Your success is whether if you tried or not. Once you try, you are successful. You might learn that's not what you're supposed to do. But you were successful the moment you went out and tried it. Amen. Naaman was a leper, but he was a mighty man. Can I hear amen?
Amen.
I'm going to close. Listen, Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable. Because by him the Lord had given deliverance into Syria. He was a mighty man of valor. But Naaman was a leper. Turn and tell somebody this. Miss Penny won't, but tell them this. We all have a nagging butt. But he was a leper. You got it? But he was a leper? It wasn't a B-U-T-T. It was B-U-T. But he was a leper. All of us have that nagging butt. We put in our life. But it nags at us. I can't do that. The economy is bad. There are some folks like Sister Pam could sell mud cakes and be rich. I mean, all you people are tapping the anointing here. In the time of recession, when everybody was as lost, we were able to build all this debt free. In recession, they say. There's anointing in here to flow. Woo, I feel it. There's a flow anointing in here, man. We ought to be taking this town over. I say we ought to be taking the town over. Listen. Especially if you're one of those who are judgmental. And this is hard, but we'll get through it. If you're judgmental, if you have a high history of judging people, or your opinions of people, amen. Quick, you need to understand this. Everybody in this house has leprosy. Everybody in this house has leprosy. And you're very fortunate nobody sees it because of the blood of Jesus. Under that blood? What's under the blood? What's under that blood? If we wipe the blood off of you, what would we see? Leprosy. Stinking leprosy. Judgmental people. We roll your sleeve up. Leprosy. Open your shirt up. Leprosy. You can't judge nobody. You forgot what happened in your life 5 years ago. Oh, wow, I feel it, Brother Jeff. Don't you dare forget that you have leprosy. And the only way you stay clean is because of the precious blood of my Jesus.
Thank you for the blood. Thank you, Lord.
You know who makes the best kind of people? Those who have more than one nagging butt. They got a lot of things they're working on. They keep them humble.
Yeah.
Brother Jeff would tell you, he'd tell me, well, pray for me. I got this. Pray for me. We do it. We pray for one another. We have those nagging butts. You know where we got them? From the sin that we was in when we was young. You carry that. Listen to me, young folk. We tell you that Jesus takes care of everything. He don't take care of your mind. When you sow the sins that you're doing, when you grow up, you will look back on your life a thousand zillion times. Weeping that you hadn't took that road. Because of the scars and the shame and disgrace it brought upon your life and the hell you took your mom and daddy through. Some of you give a zillion years to get your mama up out of the grave and say, look, mama, I finally turned out all right and I'm very sorry for what I put you through. But you can't. You have to live with the grace of God in your life.
Amen.
Leprosy. No matter how anointed you are, how gifted you are, you want to stand around saying how judgmental you can be. You just nasty. Those people scare me. I don't want to be in a place with people who are high-minded and haughty and think now because I got dust and dust and dust and dust that I can't be respectable of other people who might be hovering around some challenge in life. We got to wake up. Naaman was a man of valor, but he had leprosy. I wonder how many people would have chose Naaman. You don't put it on the tape. Say it loud enough in here.
No church people.
No church people. We're trying to change that though. Amen. We're going to be the generation to change that. We're going to be the generation that throws no rocks. Because 99.999999999% of the people here were nothing but ex-perverts. You better thank God you're in that 0.1% not. We got no stones to throw. Because of the blood. Thank God for the blood of Jesus. Naaman was a great man, but he was a leper. Faith worketh by love. We think we holler it up, scream it up, jump it up, and nothing wrong with that. But true faith comes when you love one another. Faith worketh by love. Let's be that kind of people in this season. You know, when you get down to the end of the road, you're not going to be, nobody's going to be concerned if you're President Bush, you, or, golly, my mind, name your name. Elvis Presley. What about a women? Y'all don't even think about nobody? God, my name's, you know, when I get in the Holy Spirit. Okay. Who is that? When you get to, yes, sir. Is that your Lord? When you get down to life's end, you're going to really think about who you are. It's all about. It's not about you in my life. It's about me. It's not about Bush. It's not about Britney Spears. It's not. It's coming now. It's not about Elvis Presley. It's not about anybody else. It's about me. What about me? How am I meeting life challenges? Head on? Yes. Let's stand. Head on. We're head on people. Okay. We're head on people, right? Say yes, I'm a head on people. We hit things head on, man. We take care of them. Sister Pam, will you play for a moment? We're going to take a moment here. We need to open up the altars every time we really do. In many cases, we don't. Because we live in a troubled world. And coming before God is a wonderful thing when you bring those troubles to God. When you bring your life challenges to the Lord, He empowers you to overcome those things. Everybody head bowed, nobody looking around, please, as we enter into this part. Is there anybody here today say, Pastor Mike, I've got plenty of life challenges. Seems like I'm kind of making a mess of them. But I want to bring them to the Lord this morning. I want to come and show the Lord and the people of God and myself that I know that I know that I can overcome these challenges. I'm better than these challenges. I don't want nothing to rob me of my future. I don't want nothing to rob me of the things God has for me. I need prayer. I want the church to pray with me. I want to move beyond all this stuff. I know I have a future for myself. Is there anybody come and just stand here and we'll have a word of prayer today? And there's one. Come on, just stand down here with prayer changes things, man. It's serious. It's serious time. Serious. This is our day to move forward. Amen. Say, this is my day to move forward. Just line all the way around. We're just going to have a word of prayer together. Agreeing with you. Anybody else? This is moving day. Say, this is my moving day. God's got a great plan for you. Great days are ahead as we move forward in Him. Anybody else before we pray? Oh, yes, Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow. Yes, it is. Hallelujah. Anybody else? There's a couple more. Filling my spirit. You want to go forward. Nobody's going to judge you about your situation. We don't even know. But you want to go forward. Something got you held in there. Some life challenges, whether it happened now, 20 years ago. We want to move past it. Just a few moments, then we're going to have a word of prayer. Because there's an exit here today. Just for you to know, I can't tell you how many times I've been to the altar in my life. I believe the prayer of faith. I believe in people praying with me. When I have a situation I can't get over, I need prayer. Yes. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Yes, hallelujah. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Yes. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I know the song. I'm just singing it that way. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Let's sing it one more time. And as we sing this, guys, listen, as we sing this, just look at yourself, the blood cleansing you and making you whole. See, the devil can't get across the bloodline. I had a vision one time. I mean, the devil, when I came out of the devil's camp, my wife would tell you, I used to get up in the middle of the night, turn the lights on. I knew the demons of devils were in the house. I could hear them, smell them, hear them talking. I know you're not, I hope you don't have those kind of experiences, but I did. There were times my wife got on top of me and pled the blood of Jesus and read the Bible over me till the demons left my house. And I was constantly having trouble with those demonic forces because I was really deep in sin, man. Terrible. going to Atlanta a couple of times a week, and pornography every minute, every second. So the demonic forces was on me. But I had a dream and a vision one night. I was on one side of the road, and I was walking down the road, and the devil was on the other side making havoc of me, scaring me, calling my name out. I'm going to get you. Ah. I mean, you know, what did he look like? He favored some of you. I'm just joking. But he was on the other side. I knew his presence was there, okay? Somebody said, I want to see the devil. I don't want to see him. I want to know when his presence is around me. But he was there. And a voice came from heaven, loud voice. He said, son, look in the road. I know you're afraid, but look in the road. And I looked in the road, and all across the road was about 3 foot of blood. The whole road was full of blood. And he said to me that day, son, he can't cross the road. The blood keeps him away. The blood of Jesus. He can't handle the blood. He can't handle the blood. I don't know about all this pleading blood. I know when you get afraid, you do anything you want to do, but he can't handle the blood. So what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood, oh listen, of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I, nothing in this world can do what that does. You hear me? Thank God for the blood. Say that with me. Thank God for the blood. Thank God.